who have received of His grace this morning can say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. It's good to be back with you and to have the privilege of fellowshipping with you and ministering the Word of God to you. I'm here today, I'm here next Lord's Day, and I'm here one other Lord's Day in the near future. And I thought that I would take in the opportunity of having a one subject for those six preaching experiences. I want you to turn with me to the book of Jude. And over the three Sundays, the Lord has laid on my heart to deal with the great teachings that are found in this penultimate book of the New Testament. What I'd like to do this morning is to read the first four verses for the sake of time, but listen to the words that God uses and remember that they are the words of God. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. What a powerful introduction to a letter for God's people to read. Let's bow our hearts in a moment's prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee that we can lift our hearts to Thee this morning, and we can say of a truth, blessed be the name of the Lord. We pray at the very outset of our gathering this morning that we may be conscious that we are in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. And we pray that by Thy Spirit Thou wouldst so minister in this place this morning that Thou wouldst take Thy Word and Thou wouldst write it upon our hearts, Thou wouldst open our eyes and our minds and our hearts, that Thy Word might have free course amongst us. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for His atoning death, for that precious blood that He shed. We thank Thee this morning for His saving power. And oh, we pray that if there are any in this gathering today who are not saved, that even today they may be drawn by the Spirit of God to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless Thy people. Give us teachable hearts, we pray. Grant that Thy Word may be a blessing to us, and that the Lord Jesus might be exalted. We ask it in his wonderful and lovely name. Amen. The book of Jude is one of those little books that tends to get lost in the middle of all the great books of the New Testament. And yet I believe that it is a most relevant book for you and I today in the days in which we're living. Someone came to me the other evening, we've just finished our Bible school, and someone came to me the other evening and said, "Brother, things are just getting worse and worse." And I really encouraged the person. I said, "Well, don't expect it to get any better." And they looked at me with horror on their faces, but beloved, I believe it with all my heart that we are going to go through a great darkness, and we're going to go through a time when the very things described in the book of Jude are going to be taking place round about us. And I believe we're coming very quickly to the place where those of us who love the Lord Jesus Christ are going to have to stand in the face of a tremendous onslaught of ungodliness. And we're going to have to stand by His grace. So please don't think this morning the book of Jude has got nothing to do with you. It has got much to do with every child of God. It's one of those epistles that was written to a specific people, and yet to all the people of God. And I don't believe there's been a time in the Christian church when these words have not been absolutely relevant to the people of God. I want us to notice this morning who the writer is and the introduction that he gives. And then I want us to notice the people to whom he's writing. I was taught when I was at school that when you write a letter, you should be able to recognize who it's written to and who it's written by. We're going to do that this morning with this book of Jude. Jude tells us who he is. He's the servant of Jesus, the servant of Jesus Christ. And he's the brother of James. Now, he leaves something out that you and I might put in. Turn over with me to Matthew chapter 13. The name Jude, of course, is short for Judas. And in verse 55 of Matthew 13, we read this. Speaking of Jesus, "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James, and Joseph, and Simon, and Judas?" I believe that Jude, who wrote the epistle, and James were brothers to one another, as Jude tells us, but they were also brothers to the Lord Jesus himself. They were the children of Mary. I believe that Jude does an amazing thing in verse 1. He could say, look, I'm the brother of the Apostle James. I'm not an apostle myself. He tells us that in verse 17 when he refers to the apostles outside of himself. And he could have started the epistle by saying, listen, I'm Jude. I'm the brother of Jesus and I'm the brother of James. But he doesn't do that. Look what he says. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. My, what an amazing statement. What an amazing statement. The greatest dignity that he would claim. The most important thing that he would tell you about himself. Is that he's the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's almost as if he's saying, I have no importance. I have no relevance other than my relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's not a human relationship that I'm claiming. It's a spiritual, saving, serving relationship with the Lord Jesus. I believe that Jude begins this letter conscious of the purpose for which Jesus came and conscious of the purpose for which Jesus left him down here. I want to stop with you a moment and ask you a question. Is that how you see your life? Christian? Is your life an extension of the purpose of the Lord Jesus in reaching out to others that they might be saved? Is the purpose that Jesus left you here simply that he might be presented to others as the Savior of sinners? So often, I look at the things that we get taken up with. I look at the things that we spend our time on. I look at all that we're being encouraged to do in the days in which we live, and I've got to stop and I've got to ask myself, what has this got to do with seeing men and women won for Christ? What has this got to do with being an encouragement to my brethren and sisters that they might catch the vision that Jesus has for them? That he has left them here to be ambassadors for Christ, and one day he's coming, and we're going to give an account to the Master of the type of ambassadors that we'd be. And Jude begins, he says, listen, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest thing you could ever learn about me. I'm a servant of the Master. And I'm a servant of the Master willingly. And I'm a servant of the Master always, in every circumstance and in every situation. What a difference it would make to the world today if every one of us would go out with this attitude that I am an extension of the person of Jesus Christ and of the ministry of the gospel. I am... The most important thing the world can ever learn about me is that I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I belong to him and I serve him and I'm here to fulfill the ministry that he has given. And then Jude tells us who he's writing to. And again, what a vision filled his heart. What a description he gives of the people to whom he's writing. Listen, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. Wow. That's you and I, you know. That's those of us who are saved. Those who have been chosen and set apart by God the Father. I wrote down the word set apart three times. And I simply wrote these words after it. And I know I don't do the meaning justice, but listen. Set apart. Called out of this world to be different. To be His. When God saved you, and God saved me, He called us out of this world. The system that Satan is controlling, the system that Satan is building, that doesn't need God. And Jude tells us that we were sanctified by God the Father. We were called out for a special purpose, set apart for God. Called out of this world. Jim Reeves used to sing, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through." And I know many Christians, and sometimes it applies to the preacher as well as to the congregation, who know the words, but don't know very much about the reality. We are strangers in this world. We are pilgrims. We have no abiding city save that which is in heaven. And Jude says, you've been sanctified, you see. You've been called out of this world. Leonard Ravenhill says, "I looked for the church and I found it in the world." What a sad indictment. But then he says this, "It came as no surprise to me that when I looked for the world, I found it in the church." Oh, beloved, we get these two things so mixed up. You know what I got in trouble for this week? I got to tell you, I can get in trouble anywhere at any time for the least possible reason. My wife and boy took deep sea diving, scuba diving in July and June this year down in Florida. Somebody asked me why they were doing it, and I said, because Daddy gets into deep water so often, they need to be able to come and rescue. But I took a little boy out in our Bible school this week, and I gave him a special prize, because that little boy made a decision. T-ball was on Thursday night. Baseball practice. And Thursday afternoon, Mom said to him, "What are you going to do tonight? Are you going to T-ball or are you going to Bible school?" And she said to me, "Joe, there wasn't a moment's hesitation." He said, "I'm going to Bible school." And I commended that boy and I gave him a little present. And I had four parents come to me whose kids had missed Bible school for T-ball on different nights of the week. And I'll tell you the sad thing. They came thinking that I was going to apologize. No, sir. No, sir. Never. I had a man call me last year. My soccer team at the school had done so well. We want you to come to New York. We want you to bring your soccer team. We'll pay for the hotel. We'll do everything. On Saturday you'll play two games, and on Sunday you'll play two games. And I said, never take place, sir. It'll never happen. Why? Because God has called us out of this world. And we're to be separated, and we're to be different, and we're not to be ashamed of it. And I rewarded that little boy because the priorities of that little boy's heart were right. He was putting Jesus first. A people called out of this world and called into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what sanctified means, you know. That's what the Father did. When He sanctified us to Christ, He called us out of the world, and He gave us to Jesus, and He brought us into a living fellowship with His lovely Son and with Himself. Oh, you know, beloved, I sit watching television or listening to the radio or reading books that are not spiritual, and I feel so convicted at times. You see, there's nothing wrong with watching a ball game. And there's nothing wrong with playing sports. And there's nothing wrong with many, 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 many things. Except when they take away from that living experience of fellowship with Jesus Christ. Except when it takes me away and I do the good things instead of doing the best. Jesus walks with me every moment of every day. Jesus walks with you every moment of every day, and He wants your fellowship. Does he get it? My brother Tom has a mug in the house. Very pointed message on it. It says, "This marriage has been suspended until after baseball season." Wonder how many walks with God have been suspended till after baseball season? You ever notice what the devil does? He's even got the seasons overlapping each other now. Baseball, basketball, football, you can go through a whole year and you can put the Lord second all year just for the things that Satan has laid out for you. And they're not wrong in themselves. They're just wrong when they take away from your commitment and your fellowship with Jesus. You see, God has called you out of this world. And He's called you into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He set you apart to be a people with a divine purpose. You know, it's almost when I read the book of Jude that Jude calls out to me and says, "Listen, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you come and join me? Why don't you catch the vision that Jesus has given us to see other men and women one for Christ and to see a witness and a testimony in this dark, sinful world?" Sanctified by God the Father applies to every individual believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was told that man attended a church for 30 years, and every now and again the preacher would say, "Oh, that doesn't apply to us." So the man would go home and he'd take a pair of scissors and he'd cut it out of his Bible, because if it doesn't apply to us, there's no sense carrying the Bible. And after 30 years listening to the same preacher, he was in hospital, and the preacher came to see him and he said, "Can I read to you?" And he said, "Yes, you can." He said, "Here, use my Bible." And he opened the Bible, and the Bible was full of half pages and things that had been cut out. And the preacher says, "That's a disgrace. Imagine using a Bible like that." He says, "Well, it's your fault." He says, "The only things I've cut out are the things that you say don't apply to me." I want to tell you, when Jude says sanctified in Christ Jesus, beloved, he's talking as much to you as he is to me, and he's talking as much to me as he is to you. And you can't cut it out and say, "Well, you know, that's for Brother McNeil. He's a servant of the Lord full time, and he's a special person." Oh no. Brother McNeil and I don't like it, but God doesn't have any special people. He just has servants. And he expects the same thing from you as his servant as he expects from me as his servant. And we're set apart to be witnesses to Jesus Christ in a world of sin. And one day we're going to give an account. One day you're going to give an account, and I'm going to give an account. And Jesus isn't going to say to you, and we'll talk about this more tonight, "How successful were you?" My, this world's so success-oriented, isn't it? God isn't interested in one iota of success. You search the Word of God, you'll find God is looking for faithfulness. Faithfulness. Sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. What a beautiful word. There's a twofold meaning in that word. It's the Greek word tereso, but when you go behind it, you find that it is a very descriptive word. It's not only to be kept. It has the implication in the root word to be faithful because you're being kept. So the two ideas that come through the word preserved are being kept and being faithful because you're being kept. You hear Christians saying, "Why should I?" Only reason you ever need to give them is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why should I? Just point to Calvary. Just point to the saving power of the Lord Jesus. That's why you should. And if that's not enough, then point to the keeping power of the Lord Jesus. Just this week, I got a telephone call from one of the older sisters in our assembly who, because of illness, has not been able to be at the meetings. And I missed going to see her this week because of Bible school at the beginning of the week when I usually go. And she called me and she says, "Oh, brother, I'm so confused." I said, "Well, tell me what has happened." She said, "Well, there's a church just up the road from us, and the minister called the other day, and I told him to come back today, and he came back today and he showed me a videotape, and then he began to talk to me. And he says my grandchildren were here, and my grandchildren's friends were here, and my, he really upset me, and I don't know where I am." And I said, "Well, what was he saying to you?" "Well," she said, "you know, I got saved late in life, and I've got bad health, and I've never been baptized. He told me unless I've been baptized, I'm going to hell. He told me that if I've committed one sin today, and he knew I had, I was lost. And I had to go around and spend 2 hours with that dear saint of God and show her that it's not you and I that do the keeping. It's Christ that does the keeping. It's Christ who will stand before the Father one day and he says, those which thou hast given me, I have lost none. None. Not one. But I said to this, I said, your daughter's been baptized and she was here. He told her that unless she was baptized properly by him. I want to tell you something. We need to get our hearts grounded in the Word of God. We need to forget what this world says. We need sometimes to forget what preachers say. And we need to get into this book and let God write on our hearts His truth. I have a practice at Sanford where I do most of my preaching. I tell them, listen, don't you accept this because I say it. Go home and get into the book. And if God says it, believe it and do it. And if God doesn't say it, come back and tell me. And we'll talk it through. Beloved, he's painting a picture of you and I who are Christians that we've been set apart by the Father and we're being kept by the Lord Jesus Christ. Preserved by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this is the basis of salvation. And we're living in a day where salvation has been turned all around to become man-centered. And the salvation that I read of in the Word of God is God-centered. It is what God has done for us and not what we can do for God. And Peter says he's able to keep who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Paul says he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He's able not to lose it. That's what it means. Sure. If I was the center of my salvation, I could be saved today and I could lose it tomorrow. If God had made a covenant with me, I would have broken it immediately. But God made a covenant with His Son. And I want to tell you, neither of the two of them are going to break it. And I want to tell you that those who are saved, I don't mean those who make a profession. Those who are saved, those who really come to know Jesus Christ, they're saved and they're being kept. Peter uses a beautiful illustration. He says, your inheritance is reserved for you. It's being kept for you. And then he says, you are being kept so that you get to the inheritance. What a beautiful picture of a people who have been saved by Jesus Christ. Let me deal with one more thing before our service comes to an end. The very last word, called. You know, sometimes I think we leave this word out of our gospel preaching. We leave this word out of the doctrine of salvation. But I want to tell you, when I got saved, it was because God called me. We call it in theology the effectual call of God. But let me explain to you how it happened. I sat in a meeting just like this. And just like everybody else in the congregation, I heard with my ears every word that everybody else heard. But in my heart, the Spirit of God took a grip of my heart. And he took that night what went in through my ears, and he began to apply it effectually to my heart. And that night, on the 4th of September 1966, I knew that Jesus Christ was calling me to himself to be saved. Let me suggest to you, John tells us he calls his own sheep by name. Oh, I thank God that the name Joe Gould will probably never mean anything in this world. But Jesus Christ called me. And when he called me to himself for salvation, he called me by my name, and he wrote that name eternally in heaven. Not only called by name, but called out of Adam into Christ. You see, I was born with a sinful nature, and I still have that sinful nature. And I'll have that sinful nature till I die, but I'm no longer in Adam. I'm in Christ. I have received, as the Word of God says, I have become partaker of the divine nature. I've received the divine Spirit of God to live within me. I've become a member of the family of God. I've been called out of Adam, and I've been called into Christ. I've been called to the forgiveness of my sins. Oh, I want to tell you, we don't make nearly enough of this great truth that God has forgiven every sin. Every sin. There are men and women living round about this church, living in this city of Raleigh, living in this state of North Carolina, and they live day by day with the weight of guilt upon their hearts and with the weight of sin upon their hearts, and they need to know that Jesus has the power on earth to forgive sins. Not getting on my hobby horse, but the Pope of Rome is in America at this time, or has been, and he doesn't know the first thing about the forgiveness of sins. Doesn't know the first meaning of the word. Because he tells people, you go to your priest and your priest will forgive your sins. Oh, I thank God that I was called to the person of Jesus Christ, and he's able to forgive my sins because he shed his blood upon the cross for my sins. That's why he was there. And I'm glad I was called to him to receive salvation, to receive the forgiveness of sins. Called to be a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let me ask you, are you saved? Have you been sanctified by the Father? Are you being preserved in Jesus Christ? Have you been called? Can the world look at you and say, a new creature in Christ? See what God has done. Some of us try so hard to look like the world, to act like the world, to be like the world. The world can't tell any difference. And that's not what my Bible teaches. My Bible teaches that he has called me to be a new creature in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, when God looks down on you this morning, does God know you're saved?
Does God see a person who's been saved by the blood of His Son with all that that means? Does God see one who looks at Jesus and says, "My Redeemer, the one who bought me, the one who paid the price, the one whose blood was the price of my salvation"? Does God look down and see you separated from the world, called out, separated from sin? Does God see you this morning standing on Christ and on Christ alone? All other ground is sinking sand. Jude had a tremendous vision of what it was to be a Christian. He had a tremendous vision of the people to whom he was writing. They were sanctified by God the Father. They're being kept by God the Son. And in their life's experience, they were called to a personal living relationship with Jesus Christ. Is Jude writing to you? Let me say, if you're in the meeting this morning and you're not saved, please don't leave without talking to us. Give us the opportunity to show you from the Word of God how you can know with absolute assurance that you're right with God, that you're saved. And if you're in the meeting this morning and you're not sure, my Bible has the assurance penned in God's words. And you'll soon know. And you can leave this place knowing. Oh, don't go out and think, "I have plenty of time." My dear friend, time is very quickly running out. Time is fast going. And it may be that you'll not get another opportunity. I talked to the children about Agrippa, who said to the great apostle Paul, "When I have a more convenient time." Never read in my Bible that he ever had a more convenient time. You might not either. Let's bow our hearts in prayer together. Father, we thank Thee for salvation and for a Savior whom Thou hast provided. We thank Thee that salvation is real, and that those things were written by Jude so long ago apply today to every individual that has been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, we pray that our hearts may be open to Thee, that we might know as Christians the glory of what Thou hast done in our lives, that we might be conscious of what Thou desirest to do in our lives in the days in which we live. But Father, we pray this morning for any in this meeting who are not saved, who don't know the Lord. Oh, we pray that Thou wouldst be gracious to them. And as they feel the weight of their sin this morning, help them to know by the ministry of the Spirit of God that Jesus saves hell-bound sinners. Let your word stay with us. Let your word abide in our hearts, and help us, Lord, to come back again on this Lord's Day to remember the Lord's death and to hear again Thy word, that truly on Thy day we might honor Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. If you would like to speak to me, I will be at the door. I got to say to you what I tell them at Sanford. If you sit where you are for 30 seconds, I'll be at the door before you get there, and I'll be able to greet you as you're going out. God bless.